Hey, Barb. How do they pay dog catchers? By the pound. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this message. We put it into your hands. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not, please let it go its own way. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. As I have noted previously, when the term judgment is used in Scripture, the context often implies the punishment or reward part of judgment. A step beyond guilt or innocence, the reaping of what has been sown is not always punishment. It is also reward. I know that the past few weeks we have spent on punishment side of judgment can take a bit of an emotional toll on us. I guess it's supposed to. Perhaps so much is said about it in Scripture because we should never allow ourselves to disregard it or ignore it. And sometimes I'm guilty of that. Punishment forces us to consider the fate of the lost, especially those who we know and love. It challenges our faith for them, that God has a plan for them as much as he has had one for us. It makes us consider the seriousness of our witness by both word and deed, and to ponder the value, the true value of time. God loves the world and came here to save it, not to condemn it. And he's not willing that any should perish. And how his Spirit brings others to Christ is his business. Bless you. A business he takes so seriously that he died to accomplish it. The study of judgment and punishment can also be an opportunity for our enemy to drive a wedge of doubt into our hearts regarding our own salvation at times. Fear can try to take a hold of those who have been set free from the distress of impending condemnation. For those who love the Lord, let me be plain, there is no punishment. For us, everything we have looked at over the past few weeks regarding punishment has been an academic exercise, a study to show ourselves approved. Punishment is not our destiny, and it never will be. It is what Jesus Christ saved you from. Believe this, weld this truth to your faith, and be at peace with your future. 1 John 4:17-18 says this, "By this, love is perfected within us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but love, perfect love, cast out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love." What it's saying is if you still have fears of punishment, hell, after coming to Christ, then you don't need to know more about punishment, hell, or heaven. You need to know more about God's love for you. God doesn't want you living in fear. He came that you might have peace and have it abundantly. And he did not fail in his mission. He has done everything for you to have it. Now, this does not mean there's nothing eternal we can lose in this life. It's just that heaven is not one of the things we can lose. One of the things you can lose or limit is eternal reward. Reward is the happy half of judgment. Punishment and reward is what Christ will judge our deeds for. 2 Corinthians 5:9-10. "Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his body, for his deeds in the body, in this life, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We have spent some time looking at getting what is due for us for evil deeds. This morning, let's begin to take a look at what is due for us for good deeds. It's hard for me to be comprehensive about heavenly or eternal rewards when it seems to me that heaven itself is the ultimate reward. But Scripture demands that we consider the matter, as it does address the issue in some detail. In other words, it's not in there for nothing. I think of heaven rewards as fuel perks for the soul. Everything I need or want is offered and available to me at the store. I have no regrets for going to the store. Then I find out how much free gasoline I got just because I go to the store that I had to go to. I don't go food shopping to get free gas. Well, honestly, I don't go food shopping at all, but somebody does in the house because there's always food. I go to buy food and live, but I'll take the free gas if they're giving it. Let's take a look at some of what the Word has to say about our eternal rewards, our bonus gasoline in heaven. First, we must look at how rewards, unlike salvation, are merit-based. It almost seems wrong to say that, but second, we will look at how rewards are individually based. They are not earned by group effort. Speaking of the first one, rewards are merit-based. Yep, you earn your reward. Unlike our salvation, sanctification, and glorification, which are all matters of grace, eternal reward is a matter of works, the good works you were saved by grace through faith to do. That's what Scripture says. You were saved to do these things. Let's look a little deeper at the verse we had just read. Verse 9 says that we should have as our ambition, our motive for what we do, to be pleasing to God, indicating that being pleasing to God is something that we control. If it's my ambition, and I'm the one that does it, then I'm the one who chooses to do it, then it's mine. Unlike being loved by God, which is something he does regardless of our own will or action, unlike salvation, which is an act that God's love unilaterally produces, an act we call grace, we did not earn either of these things. They are solely the product of grace, which by definition means ill-deserved favor, not favor that was deserved, earned, or even undeserved, more than we earned, but favor granted despite earning only punishment. Verse 10 tells us why pleasing God should be our ambition, and this is the important part for today. For we all will be judged by Christ, so that we may be justly recompensed for our deeds, our actions, while living on this earth. Recompensed is a big word. It means to give something by way of compensation, as for a service rendered. This is what we call wages, salary, remuneration. It is what we earn for services rendered. Other translations say what is due, deserved, or what we get paid. We get something because we did something. A quid pro quo situation. Now, the Greek word for recompensed is komizo. The same word is used in the same context in a few other verses. Let me read a few, and you'll get the idea of it. Ephesians 6, 7 through 8. With good will render services, as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive, be recompensed, back from the Lord, whether slave or free. Serve others as you would God, and you will be recompensed for your service. Whatever good things a person does will come back to you from God. You see, good things and good deeds and good works are the best long-term investment one can make. The gifts you give to others are gifts that keep giving to you beyond this life. They never stop generating value. They are eternal. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive, be recompensed, what was promised. You will receive the wages you were promised if you do the work you were called to do," is what it says. What you received is based on what you have done regarding the will of God. It is a reward based on accomplishment. And in this case, accomplishment is doing the will of God, which can always be summarized as loving God and loving others. It says we need endurance to do this, what we call faith, because we have to finish the work of the will of God. It says when we have done the will of God, we will be paid back what we were promised. You see, payday doesn't come until you punch the clock for the final time. We get a bonus when we retire. Galatians 6:9 tells us, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And 2 Thessalonians 13:3 tells us, but as for you, brother, do not grow weary in doing good. You see, if you do grow weary in doing good works here, the ones you were saved by grace to do, it will most likely be because you are looking forward to reward here and become frustrated when you don't get paid before you retire, before you punch the clock. You don't see it, so you quit. And Paul urges us, don't do that. Remember, Jesus did nothing but good works, and they rejected him, betrayed him, beat him, insulted him, and murdered him. If Christ did not receive his reward here, why would we expect to? You are the reward that Christ sought, and when he comes back the next time, his reward, you will be with him, because we are the jewels in his crown. And he was willing to suffer and to work to get us. 1 Peter 5:2 through 4 says, shepherd the flocks of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. This speaks to the work of the elders and the leaders of the church. Do your job and you will be recompensed, but it's conditional. Do your job and do it this way, because you want to help, not because you have to. Do it as God has instructed you to in his word. Don't do it for worldly gain. Don't do it for earthly power and authority. But do everything so that others may see how a life in Christ is supposed to be lived. Be the example. Because as always, leadership in the kingdom of God is service. It is service to the body that will be rewarded and recognized by Christ himself. When you work here is a labor of love for others, then you'll receive the gain and recognition that you did not seek here. That's when it says, seek first the kingdom, and all of these things will be added to you. When? Then. By Jesus himself, in front of all of heaven and all of earth. Your temporal labors will be recompensed with a treasure that will never fade and never lose its value. Now, the next thing we need to know about our eternal rewards is that they are individually determined. My rewards are not based on another's ministry or work. We get paid for what we did at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a church or a denomination compensation, but an individual remuneration for the work that we did. I got to write these a little simpler. I'm confusing myself. You don't get rewarded in heaven for being a Methodist or for being a Catholic or for being a Baptist or for being a member of this church. I mean, there's not a spot up there that says, oh, you people from Arias Brown, come over here and you won this behind door number 3 where Carol Merrill is standing. If you were a member of a productive and obedient fellowship, you will be rewarded for the work that you did within it, not what the group as a whole did. Fellowship is meant to help you do what you are called to do. It is not meant to do your work for you. 1 Corinthians 3:8 through 15. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his labors. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, another is building on it, but each man must be careful how he builds on it, what exactly his works are. For no man can lay a foundation other than one which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. So if you're doing anything to help anybody, and it's not based on Jesus Christ, there is no heavenly reward. Now, if any man builds on a foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident, what you actually build it on. For that day of judgment, will show it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Not the amount, the quality of each man's individual work. Everything you've done will be put to the fire. If any man's work which he has built on remains, he will receive reward. He, the individual. You see, we cannot ride the coattails of others in the judgment seat of Christ. It will not be a group incentive payment. The individual-based rewarding of saints answers our concerns of fairness and justice, because humans often complain about grace not being fair. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. In the parable of the workers, who speak to how grace provided the same payment for who accepted it, regardless of the work, speaks to it. We protest that a murderer can find the same saving grace at the last moment of his life as does the monk who followed the Lord his entire life. And here is God's reply to this complaint from Matthew 20, 13 through 16. But he answered and said to them, "Friends, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to the last man the same as you. Is it not law for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I'm generous? You want more." And then there comes the phrase, "So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last." You see, our offended sense of justice may be mollified a bit when we consider that, unlike salvation, which is what this speaks to, eternal rewards are based on individual efforts and achievements. You see, in the end, that monk who had served the Lord his entire life will have a little more than the one who did not. In the end, accepting unearned grace leads to earned reward. And justice, God's and our concept of it, is completely satisfied. This is where the last in this life becomes the first in eternal life. They sought nothing here, and they got everything there. The one who chooses to store up their treasures in heaven, not on the earth. Point is, everyone receives the same reward of grace, entrance into heaven. But that does not mean all will receive the same reward after they enter. George Whitefield wrote, "How sweet is rest after fatigue. How sweet will heaven be when our journey is ended." Heaven is a matter of grace and God's work. The sweetness of heaven is a matter of our work and our work only. Amen. Next week, we'll look at levels of reward and what these rewards actually are. Not next week. I just want you to know that I believe Pastor Keith is going to bring a message to us, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. If everything goes well with his child, he's supposed to be here to bring a message to us. I really look forward to it.